You're listening to More Perfect Marketing, the show for business owners and entrepreneurs always on the lookout for smart marketing ideas to keep their business moving forward. And now, here's your host, David Baer.
Well, hello, and welcome to another episode of More Perfect Marketing. Today, we're going to be talking about a platform that's been around for years. And I should have actually gone back and looked to see exactly when it first came on the scene. But thankfully, my guest is going to have that answer at the ready in a moment. If you're curious what the platform is, well, you probably already know because it's likely in the episode title name. We're talking, of course, about Pinterest. And this is one of these platforms that has huge usership. It has a reputation for being highly effective at driving buyer intent traffic. And yet, it's one of those platforms that I see so little discussion about. Why? Because it's not hot and sexy and the new thing. It's not the TikTok or the AI of the moment. And so people don't talk about it as much. Well, for the next half hour, you're going to have a chance to really dig in deep into the topic of Pinterest. And to help me with this, because I know nothing about Pinterest, is Stephanie Real, who's joining me from Arizona. Stephanie, welcome.
Thank you so much, David. I'm so excited to be here.
So I'm curious, when did Pinterest arrive on the scene?
2010.
Okay. Excellent.
January 2010, started the new year that year. I mean, it's wild though to think about it being around for that long. And there's so many people that still aren't using it for their businesses and in their marketing strategy.
Well, here's how I have used it, because I was a marketer back then. I'm still a marketer. I don't know the last time I visited a Pinterest board, is that what they're called?
Yes. But
there are all kinds of cool and interesting hacks that we marketers know about. One of them is driving traffic by just pinning something. Sometimes it's useful for SEO. Sometimes it's useful for getting, you know, traffic to your blog and sort of thing. So exploiting the opportunity when it first came out, but that quickly got abandoned because I went somewhere else. So
yeah,
I need you to sort of unfurl what I've just said, because I've just, you know, thrown out a whole bunch of marketer speak there, and let's maybe get back to the very beginning. But before we do, I want to get a sense of who you are, what you do, because Pinterest is a passion of yours, but it's definitely not the entirety of your business. And so I want to give you a chance to introduce yourself, and then we can talk about Pinterest in the context of the broader work that you do, strategy and data-driven marketing and all of those other things.
Absolutely. Well, I am so grateful. I'm excited, so excited to talk about Pinterest. I think it is a missed opportunity for so many small businesses. I started my career actually a little bit before Pinterest was on the scene. I've been doing this for 14 years, and this is all things digital marketing. So I started my first business before I even graduated college. And that business back then, nobody knew what a side hustle was. And my friends thought I was crazy because I was working nights and weekends to build my business, build client rapport on the side. Now everyone knows what a side hustle is. But I built it that way and did that and played the long game with that for about 9 years. And in 2019, I left my full-time job behind and focused only on my business. And that business became a full service marketing agency. So we did a little bit of everything. And truly over my career, I've done a little bit of everything. I mm-hmm. love the strategy. I love digging into the psychology of consumer behavior, understanding what makes consumers tick, and then putting together a strategy that's going to connect with them. I love branding and even being able to connect with that consumer or potential audience on a subliminal level with the colors that we use, the words that we're choosing for a brand. And so that really morphed into this beautiful love affair with marketing over the years, everything from video to social media, advertising, email marketing. I mean, websites, you name it, I've done it over the years. And that was all intentional, because I think that there's so much beauty. I think of marketing now more as branding first. The brand is that pulse and that heartbeat of a business. It mm-hmm. gives that why and that humanization. And then we deploy it across whatever marketing channel we're using. So that's very much a big part of who I am now. I focus mostly on brand strategy, launch or relaunch of businesses. But I can't give up Pinterest. I have outsourced or found partners for all the other areas, but Pinterest is something I don't see enough people doing or doing properly and well. And actually through my career, I developed what is now known as the Pin Better method. And it's a way to scale pin and to create Pinterest at scale. So that the thing that I love about Pinterest, and you mentioned it when you first jumped in and started talking about it, those different buzzwords, SEO, driving website traffic, all those different pieces. Pinterest isn't really a social channel. And I know that it doesn't get all the glitz and the glamour of the buzz in the moment of TikTok and Instagram Reels or those different pieces, but it's, I've always played the long game in my life and in my business. And Pinterest is the long game for businesses of all kinds. It's not just recipes or bloggers and influencers. We actually have a lot of service-based businesses that are driving traffic on Pinterest too, and real website visits, because you're meeting your customer at the exact moment that they're searching for you. So I know that that was a lot conglomerated into one, but I hope I answered those two questions pretty well and at least gave us kind of a foundation to jump off of so we can talk about.
Absolutely. And one of the things I was sort of curious about as you were talking about this is how big a user base Pinterest has. So the number that I just found was 445 million in 2022. That's an impressive amount of people to be able to get in front of when you know how to strategically leverage a platform.
Absolutely. And I think the context there, I always think context is really helpful. That continues to grow. So a lot of other social channels have plateaued or are decreasing in monthly average users. And that's up about 2 million users from the previous quarter for Pinterest for those stats. So I love that there are more and more people using Pinterest and the trend data and some of the tactics that I know we'll probably talk about towards the end of our conversation today. I'm excited to give some tips and tricks, but the overall strategy, Pinterest is more like Google than it is like Instagram or Facebook or any other platform out there that is social. I'm using air quotes for anybody who's just listening, because it's all keyword driven. It's all URL based. And the thing that I love is since 2022, pins have been coming up in Google search results. So the Google crawlers are actively crawling. It's not something that a lot of people are talking about. We have some of our best performing pins for clients and my own service-based businesses over the years are from 4 and 5 years ago because they keep on coming up in search results in an active Google search where your TikTok video or your Instagram content might not come up or likely isn't going to come up. Your Pinterest content can, and you can repurpose content between the two. So there's a lot of opportunity there on Pinterest and growing eyeballs across the board, no matter who your end consumer is.
You bring up an interesting point because I'm thinking about the way that consumers, or just whether you're a consumer in doing this or not, how we use a search engine like Google and how some of these platforms that we think are the be all and end all of marketing, don't play nicely with Google, but others do. And so you mentioned Pinterest, another one that I know that often will show up in results, particularly if you're looking for an individual, is LinkedIn. And so knowing how to utilize these types of platforms, because it's not just when somebody is on Pinterest, but when somebody is using Google, you can have your stuff found. So I think this is certainly a conversation I've had before about, you know, Pinterest is more than what you think it is, what the reputation suggests it is. It's not just for brides planning weddings and couples planning, you know, vacations that they're dreaming about in the future. You've said several times now, service-based businesses. So can you go a little deeper on that and explain, you know, when you're talking to a service-based business and you say Pinterest and they go, oh yeah, but that's not for me. That's for, you know, these other people. What do you say next?
Absolutely. Well, I think the other thing to remember, every social channel or social search in Pinterest's case, you know, there's a certain user behavior and intent on the channel. And so I always give that context for my clients too, or potential clients, or if I'm just speaking to a group, to make sure that you understand people on Pinterest are planning for the future. So yes, that might be a wedding. Yes, that might be a new fitness regime or somebody wants to meal prep. It also might be they want to launch a business, or they're doing some market research for a hole in the market to find that white space of how their product or service fits in. And so when I'm having those conversations with service providers, truly anything with a link we can leverage on social media as long as it's not tied to a sale or something that has an end date or an expiration date on it. So we're looking at evergreen content. Mm-hmm. I love working with service providers who maybe have a blog already because we can really drive that traffic. Even your podcast, those links do really well. We've even driven app downloads for different tech startups and also real leads for freebies and lead gen offers as well for website traffic that actually converts into a true connection point with an audience member, all from Pinterest. So I think those are a lot of the ways that are a little less known, because I think everybody does think, oh, I'm planning a wedding or, you know, planning a vacation or getting a recipe. But there are so many other topics. There's so much business content. Entrepreneurship is such a big buzz there as well, as it is across the Instagrams and TikToks of the world too. But the way that people use Pinterest, they're planning in advance. So they'll save it to a board, come back to it later, and they really start to get to know the brand in a different way, where they're actually going to come and look at your content. On the Instagrams and the TikToks of the world, as we both know, a lot of times you're just going to see the video, double tap, and keep on scrolling. Whereas on Pinterest, it really can be a big gateway to start a bigger relationship and to generate leads, which is why I love it so much for service-based business.
Yeah. And I want to circle back to one really important point that you made in terms of evergreen content and how you can be doing something today that will pay off a year, 3 years, 5 years from now, and planning that sort of as part of your strategic approach to marketing is key, right? That's what you were talking about overall, but it's something that I think many businesses don't think about, the difference between a here today, gone in 30 minutes or 12 minutes or 40 seconds, right? And something that is forever. I mean, there's other platforms that behave similarly. YouTube is probably a good example. Yes. You mentioned podcast as another good example.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that that's where it gets exciting for me for a service-based business, especially if they're looking to make a lot for their effort, because the, you know, average lifespan of a tweet is like 6 seconds. And I think the most recent data for Instagram was just under 6 minutes for how long a post lasts. And so those are still important parts of a strategy and overall visibility, because as we know, it takes like over 21 times of seeing a brand to even remember it now. But if somebody's actively searching and planning for the future, they're probably on Google or Noah's on another search engine. And if that content that you've already posted once, maybe a couple of years ago and forgot about, this has happened to me and my own brand. And we do Pinterest, but I posted some video content a couple of years ago and was looking at data a year and a half later. And I was like, where in the world is this? I had 130,000 views on a pin. And I was like, what in the world? And I looked, I had forgotten I posted the video, and it was still getting me visibility and driving traffic. So it's just an important piece of the puzzle for marketing that I think a lot of people aren't thinking of, because they're so caught up in it being planning outfits or, you know, different trips and things like that, where there are a lot of other conversations and a lot of other people, not just brides, not just grooms, that are on Pinterest who are joining into the conversation now and using it to learn new things or to plan for their future.
So let's give an example, a practical example of a service-based business. And, you know, anybody who listens to this show regularly, and I think that's what now 7 of you, I'm kidding, would know that, you know, when I hear a word like brand, I want to jump up and say a lot of small businesses in particular don't recognize themselves as a brand. And so to make this more accessible, what we're talking about absolutely applies to a small business that doesn't recognize themselves as a brand. So let's talk about what a service-based business using Pinterest might look like.
Oh, absolutely. So I love that. And I have that conversation with small businesses often too about the brand side, because it's truly all of us have a brand, whether it's us as individuals, if you are in any way participating in a community, whether online or in person, you are building that reputation. And truly, to quote the famous Zig Ziglar, that brand is your reputation. And that does have an undercurrent for your business, regardless of the size of your business. If you have 2 employees, 0 employees, 20,000 employees, it doesn't matter. There's still that brand there. It's that feeling that your customer gets. And so I always find answering that question a lot too. So I'm glad for that clarification. You know, I think for a service-based business, the beauty of Pinterest with those 445 million users is there's a lot of eyeballs. The challenge for small business is that's a national, international audience. But I think when we have that context to start, because even an HVAC company or a pool service company, if you're already doing blog content and other authority content marketing related campaigns where you're educating your customer on maybe some of the tips and tricks of how to tune up your air conditioning system for the season that's coming up or your heating for that season, why not? You already created the content once, or somebody on your team did. Why not put it on Pinterest and let it help somebody down the road? They might not live in your area. They might live across the country or across the world. But with how small the world is getting with our social connections and these tools, they might know somebody who's in your area who remembers you down the line and says, oh, I actually know a company that's in your area that could help you with this and recommend you. You just never know where that's going to go. And so we've actually worked a lot with professional service, home service businesses on Pinterest as well. Just as an added data point, if you're already doing the work and having that content marketing going out, let's put it on Pinterest and have it work for you. Or if your leadership team's being interviewed on a podcast, get it on, get the link on Pinterest and help drive added visibility, because you never know when your story is going to reach somebody at the time that they really need it.
And I would imagine that, and I don't know, nobody knows the algorithms of all of these tools. And, you know, here we are in the beginning of the AI age when all these algorithms are going to be screwed up and we have to learn the new normal. But I imagine that even somebody clicking on a Pinterest link and reading, you know, or watching a video on a website for a business they're never going to patronize directly can only help that business's visibility in the local market anyway.
Absolutely. So I think that is the beautiful piece of the algorithm. While you, as you alluded to, none of us truly know, I do have a course and I give some tips and tricks on how to be creating your content in a way that is pro algorithm. And it's taken people from having zero Pinterest presence to having over 30,000 impressions in the first week of being online. So I can say confidently, I know it works. But I think that that is an added benefit too, especially because Google is crawling those Pinterest pins and those links. You're just going to help your search results at the end of the day too. So even if you are a one location operation, you can help yourself longer term rank higher in search results because your links and your company name or your website are getting out there more. And so that is another added benefit that we track for our clients too, whether it's how often you're coming up in search results, you know, where that content authority is ranking in those results. Because truly, the way that people are using Pinterest is nearly identical to Google, where they're searching for air conditioning tips and tricks for the HVAC example, or, you know, how do I know if I need heating coolant or whatever those different pieces might be, the same way that they would search in a Google search bar, they're searching in Pinterest too. So it feeds each other in a really added and really big way where you can post that content once and have it work for you, which is what, as a small business, oh, you can breathe for a second. You don't have to do all the things. You can repurpose some of your video content, put it on Pinterest too. So it's, you don't have to necessarily reinvent the wheel, which I love for small businesses, regardless of the industry that they're into.
So I'm listening to your enthusiasm about this. I'm saying, okay, yeah, this all makes sense. And then I'm thinking of the small local business owner. I met a guy the other day. I was going in for a meeting with a client, and I got introduced to him, and he said, "Oh, you're a marketing guy. I need to talk to you," right? Because he's a, I don't know what he does, home siding or something like that, and. I know that anybody, particularly in home services, right, they are doing the thing that I think we would all caution them against, which is they're working in the business, not on the business, right? Quote Michael Gerber. And so even these little things that are, oh, so simple from our perspective, can be quite involved for somebody who doesn't live and breathe marketing. So how do you identify when something like Pinterest or any other sort of equivalent additional step in repurposing existing content, for example, right, is appropriate, and when it's not, and where to add it to the mix, and how to prioritize, you know, this is something you're going to do, and it belongs in this step after you have this piece. Map out sort of the thinking around that.
Absolutely. I think the easiest way to answer that question is if you have some kind of link for your business. So most often that's a website, because even like your services or about pages, which if you've already put up the website, regardless if you're using GoDaddy or if you've had it professionally done, you're going to have some content there about what your business is all about. That's a really easy pin. And there's an extension for the Chrome browser or Firefox or all the different browser extensions that you can just click a button, add and install Pinterest, connect your account, and have it post for you. So it can be really simple. It could be even something that a virtual assistant or maybe a receptionist on your team or somebody who doesn't necessarily need to have decades and decades of marketing experience could at least get you some traction and visibility there. So I think if you have any link, the caveat there, of course, is not for a sale, not for an event. Anything with an expiration date or a timestamp, we don't recommend it there just because we really want that evergreen, everlasting content. But if you already have content on a site for the process, you know, that you take your clients through, or, you know, maybe it's like I've mentioned a couple of times, the blog example, those different pieces. But I mean, we've driven traffic to service pages from Pinterest too, for a pool services company, for my own companies over the years, the marketing agency and the consulting side of things, just from having that visibility there. And I think the thing that I love the most and the method that I've developed, you can take 20 minutes a day and create 100, 300 pins, no exaggeration. Yeah. It's all fresh content as Pinterest sees it, because there's some tips and tricks in there of how to make it pro algorithm friendly. And you can get that to last you for weeks, months, and have it look like it's fresh. And it might just be the same 10 links that you're cycling through for your business to show up on Pinterest too. So you don't need a whole lot. It's not like you need a new video or a new, you know, a whole new page on your website each time you're doing it. There's a lot of strategy in the visuals, which an easy Canva account can help you with that. And templates and those different pieces can really make that simple. But it really can be any link, and you can make it fresh with just a couple minutes a day, truly.
Right. So what I heard you say was Pinterest is the no-brainer kind of add-on to any content marketing, because it involves so little compared to so many other options, like repurposing a blog, turning it into a video. Well, you know, AI will take care of that maybe, you know, in several months or a few years. But right now, that doesn't exist. It's not like a single button that you push, right?
Yeah.
Whereas with Pinterest, it could be as simple as a browser extension.
Absolutely. And there are some AI tools. One of the tools that I love and we use for both scheduling content and in Pinterest, but then also they have Tailwind, has other social media channels you can post to, but they have an AI beta right now where it'll create your descriptions for you. It'll create your keywords for you. So we're getting close where within a couple of clicks, you might have a whole pin done for you. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, the graphics aren't really there yet, but I mean, who knows? A couple of days, it could be with how fast AI is learning. And so I think there's a lot of opportunity where you can really collapse time and get a presence there. And especially if you're already doing other content marketing, I really truly believe it's a no-brainer, because you can drive added traffic. Somebody who's searching for your product or service in the exact moment that they're looking for it, it's going to come up. Your content's going to come up, unlike Instagram, unlike, you know, some of the other channels out there. And if you're already doing maybe if you have a social media presence or even email content that you can turn into a blog, there's a lot of different things that you could do and probably use an AI tool to help you beef it up a little bit too. But it could take a couple of hours a month maybe, mm-hmm. and at least have a presence there and start driving that traffic. Now it's a longer lead platform. People that are on Pinterest are planning anywhere from 6 to 9 months in advance. So if you're going on and it's summertime when you're going to start your Pinterest account, you should be thinking about the holidays and the new year already for anything that might be seasonal in your business at that time. But it's an evergreen machine, so to speak.
Yeah. You mentioned a few minutes ago that you discovered that there was traffic coming to something in your world, you know, from Pinterest that you had totally forgotten about. I actually have an email opt-in lead magnet that I and an entire funnel that I had forgotten about years ago. And I was like, where is this traffic coming from? Why do I keep getting people with this tag, you know, in my email system? And I tracked it back. Guess where? To Pinterest, of course.
I'm not surprised. That's, I think, the one thing I haven't mentioned yet in a lot of detail. But if you have a lead gen or a lead magnet of any kind, an opt-in, that absolutely needs to be on Pinterest. I don't care if that's all someone takes away from this conversation, because you can drive actual leads for your funnel. And if you already have the resources and the infrastructure for that marketing piece already set up, why not send leads through? Even if they're not, even if you are a local business and they're not maybe in your geographic location, seriously, the world is so small. You never know when that's going to help lead to another conversation. And I think that's why, even for those of us who have been around long enough where we've gone to a lot of marketing conferences or other conferences, we all probably have a story at this point of, you know, going to a conference 10 years ago and it led to something else down the road that we would have never thought of. Well, that's the same thing for your lead magnet too. So you got to get that on Pinterest so that it can start working for you. And you'll even forget it and be like, where did this lead come from? It's a beautiful surprise.
All right. We have just a few minutes left, and I want to sort of pull the camera back and talk about bigger picture stuff, because this is a fascinating topic, and I'm surprised you're not a little bit more enthusiastic about it. But I'm kidding, folks. The thing is that obviously this holds you know, a place, a position in a much broader strategic approach that you're an advocate of, and everybody who listens to this show ought to know I'm an advocate of too. So I'd like to talk a little bit about sort of the general thinking behind the work that you do with clients, that you guide them through, because I see words like strategy, like data, throughout a lot of your material. Yeah. And how this fits into all of that.
One thing that I found early on in my career was just how important I had the pure luck and benefit of really growing up with the digital marketing industry. I mean, I was, you know, my generation was on Facebook when it was still available for college students. You know, we were in that first class of it. And so really seeing social media in its infancy, that's where I truly started my career in a lot of ways. I mean, crazy to think now, back in 2010 and 2011, I was driving multi five and six figure business deals from conversations I was having on Twitter for a construction company I worked for at the time, but that's reality. And so I think with that, yes, social media can be fun, and you get to be social with your customers, which is such a beautiful way to build that know, like, and trust that I know you talk about all the time. And we talk about in marketing all the time, but, the data is that validation. It's that instant gratification of, hey, is this working, or what tweaks can we make? And I think that that's where it's always been really rewarding, not only for me to get that feedback and that validation from the strategy that we're putting in place. Okay, is this working? Let's check the data and see what's coming in. You know, what are the benchmarks we should be hitting? What kind of a time horizon are we looking at, versus just going at it and trying different things and having no way to give context or understand the background. So for me, when I work with clients, and again, I really focus a lot on brand and overall strategy, marketing, launch, relaunch, putting together the plans for that and timing that out for a business, whether they're brand new to the marketplace or they've been around for a while and maybe they're not hitting their ideal customer. I get all of that data from their business data. So whether that's their Google Analytics, such an amazing, powerful, free tool that gives you so much information, not only on where your traffic is coming from, but then how your content on your website is performing. Is your audience even engaging in the content on your site? Where are they falling off? Doing the same thing with email. An open rate is fine and dandy, but tell me about your click-through rate. What's your engagement like in emails? Is your audience even interacting or taking the steps you want. And if not, then we have to test things to be able to figure out what's working. And that same mentality is for social. That same mentality is for Pinterest too. They have some amazing analytics tools within Pinterest, just native organically, that you can find out how some of your content's performing. It even interacts and can integrate with a website to see what that's driving traffic-wise. So you can double verify, because as we all know, some of these data and analytics platforms like to give credit or give themselves credit when maybe, you know, Facebook might be saying one thing, Google might be saying another. So it really gives you that visibility to know more about your customer. And if you're talking about marketing, we got to make it all about your customer and really think about them. They're, you know, what's their problem? What are they coming to you for? And how can we give them the most value as possible? And so all of that, including content for, you know, the marketing plan, what are we going to talk about? That all comes from customer and that data approach of looking at it, digging in, even doing customer surveys. If a client doesn't have a website or those different channels set up, that we can get to know a little bit from the customer's perspective and from their words, so we can craft marketing that actually connects with that ideal customer.
There's so much there that you just shared. One of the things that I picked up on was the multiple sources and not necessarily getting the same information from all of them. And it reminded me of one of the things I learned about your background, where you actually were in the news and journalism world, of course.
Sure,
and so understanding how important it is to approach your marketing by knowing what's behind it, and that there may be multiple truths, and I didn't use air quotes, but I ought to have, behind it, I think is really important, because you have to figure out, okay, what do I actually pay attention to in order to make useful and important decisions about what to do next?
Absolutely. I think that's the beauty of digital marketing, but it's also a challenge. I mean, I was in e-com in 2013, 14, 15, and running all kinds of Facebook ads in the beautiful glory days of Facebook advertising, where cost per acquisition was so low, but getting the right attribution data of where traffic was actually coming from. And it was a nightmare. So when I said that out loud, I had a little PTSD moment of thinking about those days of being in the data and being like, well, Google's trying to give itself credit and Facebook's giving itself credit. But, you know, the truth is, and as so many of us and so many small business owners, I'm sure you can relate to this, it's not just one thing. With marketing, it's a lot of little actions over time. For us, when we build a business, it's a lot of that consistency over time. And that's the same thing with marketing, whether it's your email marketing or social media or your blog, whatever it might be, it's a lot of those things, especially with how noisy the world is. And how many, I mean, here in Arizona where I live, there's literally advertisements when you're pumping your gas. So we are inundated with all this advertising and marketing messaging at all points of the day. So we have to be continuously showing up, continuously trying to find ways to stay top of mind and add value. And so it's a lot of these little efforts and in different platforms over time. But then the beauty of the digital side is we have then the data to see what's really driving the traffic, and not saying you're going to completely abandon, you know, one platform over another, but you can spend or focus more of your time or more of your team's time on an area that's getting you better ROI over the long term or getting you better traffic, depending on what your goals for that campaign are, if you're looking at the data. So, I mean, I'm crazy about data. We're looking at data all the time. But depending on, you know, what that marketing mix looks like for the business owners listening, you have to have a pulse of your data to know what you're doing, because you can't just be throwing spaghetti at the wall. Probably going to waste a lot of time, which is so valuable, but also a lot of money and investment if you don't have that strategy or that target point first and then have the data to back it up.
I love it. Stephanie, there's a bunch of different things that you do with clients. I wonder if you can sort of share those with us and let folks know if they're interested in learning more about you or accessing more information about how do I use Pinterest? And I know you have a course on that, where they can go for all that. So why don't you wrap us up with a little bit of info on who you are, where people can find you, and what they should do next.
I love it. Well, I am definitely a passionate brand strategist and marketer. And you can find all things most easily at stephaniereal.com. That'll link you to courses, information on how I do consulting with a handful of clients a year, And then I also really focus on branding. So if you are either launching a new business and need help with that positioning, that storytelling behind the business, the colors, logos, fonts, all those different visuals to get you into the marketplace in the right way, I love to do that. And I have a team that works with me on that, or a rebrand. Maybe you've been in business for a while and something's off. I look at the data and give you that analysis and give you, you know, the plan and tips and tricks, usually a lot of content topics and things like that to do to connect with your ideal customer and get you back into that, those goals and those results that you want to be hitting for your business. And then yes, as you mentioned, I do have a couple of courses. I have a branding course, but we talked a lot about Pinterest today. So it would be remiss of me not to mention the Pin Better mini course that I have. It's developed off of the exact strategy that I use with clients over the years, again, to go from zero to 30,000 views on content in a week with real website traffic, not just impressions, but also took a blogging client from, she was at about 100,000 views and we went to 1.8 million views in 18 months, all organically. No paid ads, just pinning consistently using this strategy with the algorithm tips and tricks that are in the course. So I know we'll have that linked in the show notes if anybody's interested in that. It's a three-part mini course. It probably takes an hour, maybe an hour and a half to get through. So that's another thing that you could do to learn more about Pinterest and get the tips and the information that you need and a couple of templates to get started and rocking and rolling on Pinterest for your business too.
Well, brilliant. So it's stephaniereel.com. That's spelled R-I-E-L.
Yes, it is.
And we'll, of course, have that and any other links. That was the word I was looking for in the show notes as well. Hey, Stephanie Reel, thank you so much for hanging out. This has been a really fun conversation.
This has been awesome. Thank you so much for the opportunity, David. And I loved getting to talk to you all about Pinterest today.
Indeed, folks. This has been More Perfect Marketing. If you know somebody who could benefit from listening to this conversation, and I'm pretty sure you do, please send them this episode. Until next time, my name is David Baer, and you've been listening to More Perfect Marketing. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to More Perfect Marketing. Now you can put what you've learned here into practice when you join the free listener community at mpmcommunity.com. That's mpmcommunity.com. When you join today, you'll receive David's collection of 26 smart marketing cheat sheets to help you master your marketing, plus additional business building training. So don't delay. Join us today at mpmcommunity.com. We can't wait to welcome you.